Matthew chapter 10, if you will. We started 25 lessons ago to talk about this idea of helping people. Matthew chapter 10, I want you to find verse number 14. Matthew chapter 10, find verse number 14. I'm going to read out loud. I'll have you follow along silently. Why don't you stand with me while we read this scripture? Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse number 14, the Bible says this, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." Look back at me, if you will. It's very obvious here. Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, now you're going to be out there in that world, and you need to know how to handle yourself with people. And in a minute, I'll show you something in that passage that I think we could all learn. And Jesus is helping his people to know how to deal with people. And I'll show that to you here in a moment. And let's pray. Father, bless us. Give me strength of mind. And God, all I want to do is be a tool. So I surrender my voice, my mind to you. Help me to teach the scripture right, Lord. And because of what's taught, first of all, might you be glorified and might you be helped. Then, Father, may we help others, help everyone here to see the importance of the scriptural teaching of this night. Holy Spirit of God, take an average meeting and turn it into an above average meeting. May this not be an earthly meeting, but may it be a heavenly supernatural meeting tonight as we gather around your word to learn how to live and help people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there if you will. I want to point out to you one verse that I will use for a lot of my teaching tonight. It said there in verse number 16, it said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Notice that God said, you are living in a world, and it's a complicated world. He didn't use these words, but it's a sinful world. There are people that love God, but not the right way. There are people that don't love God. And he said, you're going to have to learn to be wise while you live there and harmless while you live there. A very unique combination. He's sending his disciples forth to spread the gospel and to preach the word. Boy, that's what God wants to happen with us. That's the New Testament church. He's sending us out to spread the news. He said, some are going to reject your words. He said, well, just shake the dust from off of your feet, and you just keep on going. He said, you're going to feel like sheep among wolves. And I'm not exactly sure what it feels like to be sheep among wolves. But I remember one day when I had three German shepherds that trapped me on top of my car. I don't know that I felt like a sheep. I felt like a T-bone steak. And those dogs did remind me of wolves. But he says here, you're going to feel like a sheep among the wolves. You're going to feel like you're walking on eggshells with people and in society. And he said it could get bad, and this has happened through the years, where you get arrested and beat for what you believe. We don't face a lot of that in America. It will probably come to us, but there are people in other countries that face that. There are people in other countries. If you know anything about the radical Muslim movement, there are people that they will put to death because of their Christianity. It says, and it even goes as far to say, you might even have family members that won't understand you, and they'll turn on you because of your stand for Jesus Christ. But tucked in verse number 16, I think if you and I can learn this lesson, it's going to better equip us for helping people. And that's where it says, "But be ye therefore wise," and then he uses the word harmless. So God is teaching us. He advises us that when you've got all this chaos going around you, both in a carnal Christian world and in a lost world, he said, you've got to learn to be wise as you get out there among people. And he compares it to a serpent. And then he says, then as harmless as a dove. And it's all talking about dealing with people. And that's to me, that's a very unique combination, wise and harmless. And I think part of what God's saying is you got two different ends of the spectrum. Wisdom, you need to have a spiritually sharp mind, but then make sure that sharpness doesn't gouge people, you know, to cut them with that sharpness. So there's to be a harmlessness combined with the wisdom. Now, he suggests that we balance the wisdom, and he uses the term wise as a serpent, and a serpent would be like a snake, and as harmless as a dove. And he was trying, and in my Sunday school teacher's meeting earlier, we talked about illustrations. Here's God using an illustration. God talks about the serpent or a snake, and he paints a little bit of a mental picture, and then he uses a dove and paints a little bit of a mental picture. And he talks about the shrewd or the wisdom of the snake, and he talks about the gentleness of the dove. Now, well, you say, what's God talking about? He said, before you act, be sure you're wise and harmless. Before you speak, make sure you're wise and harmless. You know, folks, most of the time, I think in our congregation, we've got people that sincerely love the Lord and they really want to do right. And I don't think that we on purpose say things to hurt other people. But you know sometimes what we do. We can even tell the truth. We can even throw something out there that is very realistic, but we threw it out there at the wrong time or in the wrong way or there was too much of it or with the wrong attitude. You don't have to give up the truth. You just have to learn how to properly present the truth. Wise, you know what's right, and harmless, you know how to administer what is right. I don't know of anybody in our church that is an out-and-out rebel that's out to do wrong in regard to their relationships, but there are people that do not know how to handle what they do, or people, or how they handle people. Now, so, this lesson is so simple, but stay with me. It will help all of us. And remember, our goal is helping people. We're alive. There's a heaven. There's a hell. God saved us from the hell. We're saved and on our way to heaven. Why in the world didn't God just go ahead and take us to heaven and get it over with? I mean, we were spared of hell because of salvation. Did I reverse them? Why didn't God just go ahead and take us to heaven, get us out of here? Because we'd been spared hell. Well, there's a reason. Because there are other people that need to be helped. There are other people. And you say, well, then should we give all of our time to soul winning? Well, we ought to give our time to keeping people out of hell. But at the same time, while we're helping other Christians, and we were left behind to do that as well, we're grooming, growing, and nurturing them so they become a part of the productive army to keep people out of hell. So there's two parts. We're trying to reach the lost. And then we're trying to help the saved so they can reach the lost and that God can be glorified. Now, helping people by developing this combination of being wise and harmless, God starts out, and this is point number one. He talks about being as wise as a serpent. Let's talk about the snake, the serpent. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. God just told us there to be wise around the lost. And you say, what makes you think it's talking about the lost? It talks about them that are without. That means them that are without Christ, or them that are without the fold. That's the lost person. Now, in Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now we're talking about the serpent. He carried himself very, very confidently. Now, you know, God illustrates and compares Lucifer to the serpent. You know that the serpent knew what God said in the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, he knew it better than Eve knew it. You know, the devil knows his Bible. he knows his Bible. It's sad. He knew it well enough to twist it to benefit himself. He has a wisdom. Now, obviously, in that case, it is not a pure wisdom. But, boy, he was cunning. He was strategically exact. He was prudent. He knew what he wanted. He went through with his plan. He had a goal. He was smart. He had a plan. I have no love for the devil, but you got to admit, he carried out his plan with great precision, and he has influenced the multitudes for wrong. He knew what needed to be done, and he followed through, and it happened. Now, God talks about being as wise as a serpent. You know what I think God would like? God would like for you and I to want to be as committed and wise for God as the devil is for the devil. What would happen if you and I would decide to polish our wisdom to the point where we were as productive as God or as productive as the devil? You think about the people that serve the devil. There's some people out there that are pretty slick. They're pretty slick at what they do. But God says there's a wisdom. The word shrewdness is not the exact word that I'm looking for. But boy, there is a wisdom that God gives the serpent or the snake credit for. The one snake I know of in the Bible was the devil. And I'm not admiring him. I'm just telling you, what he does well. He does bad in a real good way, doesn't he? Okay, then God says there's another half of this thing, the dove. I'll read to you from Philippians chapter 2. In verse number 14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke." Here, now we see that word harmless again. Remember, the Scripture said, "Be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove." Now we see harmless again. We see blameless here. If you know the dove, I described the devil or the serpent a little bit. Now, let's talk about the dove for a second. A dove is gentle. The dove is very cautious. If you've ever seen that bird, the dove, he's very careful. He's slow-moving. He's got a peripheral vision about him. He's just watching everything. He's observant. He's not rushed. He's tender. He's quiet. He's soft. He's kind. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is called the heavenly dove. Now, you have a wisdom that we give the snake credit for. There's a wisdom of the snake, a sharpness, a keenness. But wait, now we're told, but you got to have the other side of that. Not just a sharp keenness, but you need a gentleness like a dove. And that's what God said. Getting these disciples said, "I want you to go change the world, but if you're going to do it, I'd like you to do it my way, and I want you to have a sharp keenness. I want you to know what you believe and know what you are, but I also want you to know how to handle what you are. I want you to know how to be gentle and tender and observant while you do it." Okay, so we talked about the snake. We talked about the dove. Now, may I suggest that you and I, he did not say, "Go be a serpent." No, he said he wanted both. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Young people, you may not take your English class seriously, but the word "and" there is a conjunction. And at conjunction, junction, what's your function? It's connecting two things in the sentence together. That means when the word "and" is there, the sentence is not over with, and there's not a period yet. We're not at the end of the thought or the end of the purpose. So the "and" is adding those two things together. So we're not to be just a serpent. Don't just be smart about knowing. Okay, let's talk about people. Those of you that want to help people and train people and teach people. And we're all supposed to be influencing people. That's what he was telling the disciples. Go help people. He said, but to help people, you're going to have a keenness, a sharpness. You gotta know what you're doing, like the devil did. But then you got to know how to handle those people kindly and gently. Now, you could be smart enough to know what needs to change about people. But you also need to learn how to harmlessly get them where they need to go. You need to know what they need, but you also need to know how much of it they need right now. You know what, and a couple of you, I don't know if you can analyze yourself this way, but you know, some people are just spiritually smart enough to be dangerous. I know the Bible and I know the truth. Yeah, but you don't know anything about how to get it to people, and you're destructive with the truth. What the Lord is saying is have a sharpness, a keenness, know where you're going, know what needs to be accomplished, but know how to harmlessly apply it. There's nothing like having a good doctor that knows how to heal you up. But boy, the last thing I want is a doctor to be stitching me up while he's bruising the rest of my body, getting it done. So he knows how to put the stitches in, but it would be nice if the rest of my body is not torn to shreds while we're fixing the part of my body that's broken. So what are we talking about? But there's a knowledge there that he knows the truth of how to fix it, but we all like a doctor that's got at least a little decent bedside manner. A little kindness, a little gentleness along the way. That's the best nurse. When we were on vacation last year, the church needed me to get a key man policy so that they would give us the loan for our building. In other words, if you all kill me, you can pay off the building. But they sent some people out, and they had a nurse in, and it had to be done while I was on vacation. So they sent a nurse to the place where my wife and I were staying on vacation so they could draw blood. And she came in and she poked me and she couldn't get what she needed. And she poked me again and she couldn't get what she needed. I'm not kidding you. Honey, how long? She was probably there an hour and a half. I had holes all over my body. You could have used me as a strainer for spaghetti sauce when she was done with me. And she never did. She couldn't find everything she needed. And she cried and she said, I am so sorry. I've got to go. I looked like I had been attacked by a porcupine the next day. I had bruises. Every place where they could poke you. But let me tell you this. She was very gentle. She was very, very kind. She tried, and she wasn't trying to hurt me. But it did get a little bit old, I gotta admit. So they sent another nurse out about 3 days later, and again another day of vacation. We stayed at the room so that they could do it. The gal came out, took my blood, and she was gone. Now, can I tell you which one I prefer? I preferred the one that had the keenness, the sharpness, and the ability with the gentleness to get it all done. Now, you say, well, I believe the truth, and I'll stand for the truth. That's good, but be careful poking everybody with it to the point that they're bleeding everywhere, and you're taking a hatchet to them. You say, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and I've got mine. Well, you can believe right and act right while you believe right. And God said, if you want to be effective in this world, then you need to be, you've got to have that sharp wisdom, the keenness of the serpent, and the gentleness of the dove. So remember, I explained the serpent, I explained the dove, and then I said this, he does not want us to be just a serpent. A serpent will hurt people because they, look, we just have to be careful with the strength aspect of things. Now, not only did he say, I don't want you to just be a serpent, that conjunction, and where it said, therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves. The dove, remember, is harmless and gentle. And there's a quietness about them at the appropriate time. You know, God doesn't want you just to be a serpent. That harsh, sharp. Now, but he also, God does not want you to just be a dove. You're not just to be a dove. If you're just a dove, you won't help people change their lives much. You say, why? Because according to this, the dove is that gentle, soft, tender. They don't speak up much. They don't really. You'll never see a dove do what a rooster will do. Doves don't walk around going, "This is my yard. This is mine." Any have you ever seen a rooster? You ever seen a turkey? You say, "I seen one a little bit ago right here in the church." No, the dove. The dove's almost always got one foot stepping backwards. Because they'll go to flight right away. But boy, not a rooster. That old rooster walking around saying, "This is my territory. This is my territory." Any of you ever been chased by a rooster? They will come after you. And I'm talking about, there's that little 5-pound bird, if it weighs that much, chasing a 200-pound human being because this is his territory. The dove's not like that. God said, "I don't want you to be just a serpent, but I don't want you to be just a dove when you're helping people." The serpent can be so harsh and hard, maybe even right, but they're harsh and hard. But then the dove is so soft and mushy and gentle. You're so busy being gentle and kind and quiet that you never tell the truth. You never stand up and say that's wrong. You never take the stand that you ought to take. True love causes us to be gentle, but wait a minute, it will also cause us to tell the truth too. If I love you, I want to be gentle. I want to be kind. I want you to know that your pastor loves you. But I don't love you if I don't tell you the truth about what will hurt you. You'll have to understand, you ever come to see me for counsel, I'll figure out a way to let you know where you're wrong. Sometimes it takes a long time because some people can't take it. I don't want to hurt you. But if I'm your friend, I need to tell you if you're doing something that will hurt you. But see, if I'm too much of a dove, then I don't have that strength that we would have attributed over here, that sharpness, that keenness. And he said, you've got to get both. So we talked about the serpent. We talked about the dove. We found out that he said, "I don't want you just to be a serpent." And then he said, "I don't want you to be just a dove." He said, "I want a combination of the two." So he said this, "Be wise and harmless." It's like peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly. It's a unique combination. I think they make peanut butter jelly in one jar. They call it goober. Okay, so I say to everybody here, be a goober. That's scriptural. Now, here's what we have. I know some preachers that are serpents all the time. Always hard, always harsh. God said, no, you got to get the combination. Don't be a serpent all the time. But then I know some preachers that are doves all the time. Just always soft. Always kind. Really, don't they won't tell you what's wrong, all because they say, "It's because I love." Well, partner, if you love, you're going to have to tell people the difference between right and wrong. If you love your child, you're going to tell them not to play in the street. So, God said, be wise and harmless. Churches can be like serpents. God said, I don't want the church to be like serpents only. But then, he also doesn't want a church to be like doves only. Now we're talking about the church as a whole. So he didn't say, you church, go out and just be a bunch of serpents. No. And he didn't say, church, go out and be a bunch of doves. No. What'd he say? Both. Know what you believe. You ought to have a scriptural ability to stand for the truth. But stand for the truth in the right way. Christians could be serpents, but we're not to be serpents only. We're to be doves. Parents, let me tell you something. A good parent stands for what's right But they're not just a serpent. They have the serpent part added to the dove part, and there's a combination. Our children ought to know that we will tell them the difference between right and wrong. It's not a personal issue. It is because I love you, and there is a tenderness and a kindness that backs it. Matter of fact, all the way to the discipline end. It's not to be a war between you and your kids. It's not to be a war. I will tell them the truth, but I'll love them, and I'll be gentle, and I'll be kind. Friends, you're not to be just serpents. But wait a minute, you're not to be just doves. A good Christian friend that's trying to help, like Jesus taught those disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he was saying, you be willing to tell your friend the truth, but you be willing to tell your friend the truth the right way. There's to be a dove influence along with the snake's pungent ability to influence Sunday school teachers. You want to be a good Sunday school teacher? You have to teach your students the truth of the Bible. You have to tell your students that there is a right and a wrong, but let me tell you something. They need to know that you love them while you do it. My pastor, my mentor, the man that taught me this, he said, Jeff, he said, you can preach as hard to your people as the depth of your love. He said, I'm going to promise you something, though. When the hardness is harder than the depth of the love, it'll get out of balance. He said, you're looking for truth that is mingled with mercy. You're looking for right being taught in a right way. God wants us all to achieve the balance between wisdom and gentleness. Now, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get the truth out without destroying people with the truth. Now, let me talk to you about some areas in which we should accomplish this. And remember, the whole lesson is that, and look up here, boys, look up here. The whole lesson is helping people. I'll show you how you can help more people. For instance, this thing of being wise and harmless, the combination of the two, with lost people, you got to learn. And that's what he told them there in Matthew chapter 10. He said, you're going to go out there among a bunch of lost people. You better learn how to handle the truth in the right way. With lost people, they're going to make inquiries. Lost people are going to inquire with you about saved issues. You got to learn to be wise and harmless all at the same time. Remember this, lost people do not have the Holy Spirit inside them. They therefore cannot think spiritually. They don't understand the Bible correctly. The most important and the first thing for a lost person to understand from the Bible is salvation. That is the primary thing. If you get them saved, then the Holy Spirit can guide them into all truth. So, I recommend that you don't discuss a bunch of spiritual issues with lost people who can't be spiritual. It's most apt to offend them, and then they're going to reject the standards of the Bible, and we needed them to accept the Jesus of the Bible. You say, what do you do? Well, they ask you a question. They say to you, lost person's going to say to you, why do you tithe to your church? You know, it's not really going to do you a lot of good to talk to them about it. You know what you say? It's easy. You say, well, I just love the Lord. Matter of fact, let me tell you about the day He saved me. Take them from where they're at to the thing that is most important, which is salvation. Don't let them draw you out. The devil, he'll get them in a conversation with you about a bunch of things that don't matter to them anyway. Look, I don't care how much they understand about the Bible. If they die and go to hell, all the Bible knowledge in the world is worthless to them. What do? Get them to Jesus. Be wise and harmless. Okay? Let me show you another example. When you're growing new Christians, that application was for you and I and the lost. Now, when you're growing new Christians, we have to learn how to be wise and harmless. You must learn with a new Christian not to go too fast. They must grow into being spiritual. And some of you want them to grow real fast. You have to understand something. Not everybody will become an overnight success like you. I even remember when I got my hair cut like a man. It started out long, and I whacked it off about an inch at a time. Now, you might have said, "What's wrong with you?" I was growing in the Lord. You got to take your time. Like a baby, you feed them milk first and meat later. At first, get them into church. The preaching will grow them. At first, get them into their Bible. The Bible will grow them. Get them praying. Do you know what God says? Here is God's order. Get them saved. Jesus does all of that. Get them baptized. Let's dunk them in the water. How bright do you have to be to get dunked in water? Have them join the church. And there's no membership fees. I mean, they're a member of Sam's Club, and they've got their credit cards, and they're members of the Book of the Month Club. You just join up if you've been saved and baptized. God said, let's start there. He said, that's where you start. Separation from the world will come. Look, listen to this. If we can get them to want to be with God, they won't want to be in the world after we've gotten them to God. What is that? Wise and harmless. I know some people that will win someone to Christ, and boy, they're on every one of their bad habits and everything that needs to change about them, and you've got them scared to death to come to church. They're walking around thinking, what am I doing wrong now? What am I doing wrong now? Now, the preacher will get some of that done just in his preaching, but at the same time, just understand God said, be wise, know what you believe, know where you're going, but you've got to know how to apply it. Okay, next. When teaching, okay, now let's go to the teaching of the living of standards. We're talking about separation from the world. You've got to be wise and harmless when it comes to teaching and grooming people with their standards. So, again, I'm talking about separation from the world. That's where there are things you take out of your life that should not be there, and you put other good things into it. The new Christian will need us to be both wise and kind, all wrapped into one. We may not, so understand this, folks, we may not recruit them into the bus ministry right away or into the nursery or the choir right away. I have people come to me and say, I want to sing in church. Well, it may you getting up on the platform, there's a little bit more to it than you wanting to. But you got to be careful because you get to pushing people along way too fast and they're not ready for it. If we're not careful, we'll hurt them. So what is it? You've got to be wise. We know what we believe. We believe what we believe. That's where we're going. We'll get there eventually. And so people say to me sometimes, they'll say, well, preacher, do you stand where you've always stood? I sure do. But there's something that I must do. I have, and everybody in here remember this, there's some of you, you've been saved for 40, 50 years. You've had a long time to grow into what you are. I have people sitting under the sound of my voice tonight that have been saved 1 week. I've got to be careful that I don't destroy that baby. How, at the same time, I need to feed the grandfather Christian. I've got to be careful. And so should you. Because we want that baby to reach the maturity of the grandfather, but it's not all done overnight. And so you say, well, I just want to hear you throw a fit. I know how to throw a fit. I'll not need anybody's help on knowing how to throw a fit. I'm not afraid to preach. I'm not afraid to call the roll. Been calling the roll for a long time. Not changed my belief on anything. But you have to understand, if I've got a truckload of new people, I must take my time to grow them. I know what I believe. I know where I'm going. I know what needs to be done. But I've got to be gentle while I get us there. And that. So when it comes to this thing of standards, We'll hurt people if we try to make them go too fast. I even will have people come to me and say, I'm changing this and changing this and changing this and changing this and changing this about myself. I'm just having a spiritual revival. Sometimes I'll say, relax. Slow down. take your time. Because I don't want you in the emotion of the moment. I want it to become a spiritual conviction. You don't do it because everybody else is doing it. You do it because the Bible says, and then it never changes. That is, if you're right with God. Okay, hey, wise and harmless. When you're dealing with, get this, when you're dealing with somebody else's children. So now let's go a little deeper into the church. You got to be wise and harmless. Everybody's pretty sensitive about their children. People love their children. Realize that when you, maybe you, you know what you believe, you know what a child ought to be, you know the truth of the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. You're as wise as a serpent. But when you're dealing with my kid, you better be as harmless as a dove, too. Y'all understand that, right? Realize that parents take your suggestions about their kids very personally. All right. There are people in here, you really need this word. It's called tact. Yeah, I just tell people what I think. That's what I am. Well, it might be a good idea for you to stop acting like an idiot. It's called Christian tact. There is a right and a wrong way to handle, especially someone's child. You know, we're all here to serve each other. And you have to be very careful if you're one of those people that just say, this is what I am, take it or leave it, this is what I am. Do you know what we are needs to be changed? You think you're making a great statement there. Now, look, I am what I am. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher, but those are all things for which I stand. I'm not bragging about me or what I am. I take a stand for the right truths. But just be careful, because sometimes when we're busy saying, this is what I am, what you're saying is I'm brash, I'm overbearing. Be careful now. You're to be wise and harmless. We're all here to serve each other. We're to help each other grow. Be careful and wise when you're helping people, even with their children. In a minute, I'll talk about that. Sunday school teacher, you got to be wise and harmless. When we're helping each other, look, folks, we're together 3-4 times a week. We're raising kids together, and people get married here and buried here, and our life is wrapped up here. We better be careful how we handle each other. We have to be wise, know what we believe, have a keen sharpness, but we've got to be gentle with how we handle it. When you're advising people about their problems or their flaws, and most of you won't be doing any of this. If you leave the counseling primarily to me, let me mess it up. But when you're advising people about their problems or their flaws, you have to learn how to be wise and harmless. For instance, she says, does this dress make me look fat? Okay, so you all know, you better think long and hard about the answer you're about to give. You better be wise, and if you're going to eat either route, I'd go harmless. I'd go harmless. Look, when you're helping people with their problems, let me tell you something. You don't tell them everything that's wrong all in one setting. Nobody can handle that. And you say, but they asked. Okay. So they were not smart enough to put a limit on your analyzation of their character. I have pastors. I'll go out and pastor will say, Brother Owens, boy, I've been listening to your sermons for years. I am so glad you're here. If you would do me a favor while you're here for the next couple of days, would you just make a big old long list of everything that you see that I'm doing wrong and share it with me? You know something? I have never written one word on a piece of paper and handed it to someone. Because they have a very submissive spirit and they have a very good attitude, but they couldn't handle that. And you all say, oh, preacher, you can tell me anything that's wrong with me. Well, thank you. I appreciate you giving me that privilege. But I probably won't make to you a list and hand it to you. You say, why? The minute you get the list, you say, what? What do you put that on the list? He doesn't love me. He hates me. Why are you checking me out so carefully? I knew you felt that way about me. You have to be wise and harmless. Okay. So when we're helping people, you have to be wise and gentle even with your wordings. Choose words carefully as not to injure people. In my counseling, I had a boss that said this to me. He said, I've got this employee and he's lazy and stupid. Could you help me? I said, well, I'll talk to him. Do you know that when I helped them, I did not use the word lazy and I did not use the word stupid. I used the word non-aggressive and untrained. Far less offensive. Says the same thing. It's not personal. What am I doing? I know what laziness is. But you need to be careful how you handle people. You say, well, I'm right! Yeah, but you're wrong about how you handle your right. And so you know, you're not the one that invented purity. God did. You're not the one that invented any of it. All truth is of God. I want to be a good representative. Then be a good representative of it all. Not just the truth, but how he wanted the truth handled. What did he say? Wise and harmless. Wife said this to me. She said, Brother Owens, I reject my husband's physical advances. She said, to be honest, he smells like a pig. I said, okay. She said, can you help us? I said, sure. So I talked to him. And I said, among about 15 minutes of other conversation, I said, and I want you to work on your personal hygiene. The words personal hygiene are a whole lot less offensive than stinks like a pig. I told him the same thing. I gave him the wisdom that was needed, but it was done in a gentle fashion. Pastor said to me about a woman in his church, he said, she is a fat mouth. Her mouth is like a manure spreader. Now he's talking about her being a gossip. I said, and I told him, you'll have to be careful how you handle that because you'll do nothing but throw gas on a fire if you're not careful there. And I said, maybe. He said, how do I talk with her about this? I said, maybe you could approach it like this and tell her that you think most of the time she means well, but she's a little too free with her words. She ought to rein them in a little bit because sometimes people don't understand and they might think she's being critical when she doesn't mean it that way. Now, that's a pretty good warning. But it was done in such a way, so here's what happens. If you don't handle people right, they almost immediately do this. You know what your goal is? It is said of Dr. John R. Rice, he's the sweetest old man that ever cut your throat with a sermon. He'd get up and preach and slice you to shreds and you walk out saying, that is such a sweet old man. And you go, whoa, you hear what he just said to me? And obviously the Bible talks about raising your voice and stomping your foot as a preacher. But at the same time, what I'm trying to say to us as Christians, you and I, one-on-one when we're helping people, just sometimes the way you word something. One parent said about another parent about their child, said, your kid is hell on wheels. You need to get him under control. I told the parent, I said, yeah, that child's a little bit out of control, but maybe what you should have said, if it was your place to say anything, is that your child is very strong and has some wonderful qualities. If they are restrained, he will do great in life. There's a big difference. There are many areas in which you and I need to be both wise, know the truth, seek the truth, stand for the truth, but stand for it in God's way. And that's exactly what he was saying there in Matthew 10:16. He said, you want to help people. I'm sending you out there to a really rugged world. There's going to be lost people you're going to deal with. There's going to be carnal saved people that you're going to deal with. And this world is tough. You've got to learn how to stand for what's right, but do it in a way that is going to be received. Now, folks, I'll tell you this. There are some people you're going to even give it the right way, and they're not going to take it well. You can't. There's just some people, doesn't matter what you do, you're never going to please them. You can't be gentle enough. You can't handle it right. You can't get the timing right. But I would just say to everybody, you got to give the right dosage at the right time. You got to know. You got to know when it's even your place. Say, well, somebody needed to tell them. Yeah, but it might not be you. it just might not be you. It might need to be someone else. Wise and harmless. That's how you help people. Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you ought to get saved. It would help you with this incredibly. But again, let me say to every parent here, every leader here, every husband, every wife, every person in the house, if we want our church to do what Jesus taught there in Matthew chapter 10, we have to learn how to be wise and harmless. Stand for right. Stand for truth. Stand for the Bible. We don't have to apologize for the old time way, but we shouldn't have to go around apologizing for our attitude and the curtness and the harshness. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I need to grow in this area of achieving the balance of the wise serpent and the harmless dove, and God has spoken to me about it. And I will work on it, and God spoke to me." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Hands everywhere. God bless you for it. God bless you for it. And God indeed will help us all with it. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you need to come down here. And hey, you know what? Some of you dads, you believe right. But just watch how you handle what you believe. And watch how much you pile on at one time. And the same even with husbands and wives. You say, "Well, what I said to her was right." Yes, but did you say it the right way? Did you handle it the right way? If you need the altar, I hope you'll feel free to come and ask God for a little bit of help with this. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Will you come? If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come. Sunday school teacher, wise and harmless. Bus captain, bus worker, wise and harmless. Husband, wise and harmless. Wife, wise and harmless. Parents, wise and harmless. As a pastor, I want to stand for what's right. And I'm not afraid to raise my voice and throw a fit about sin, but at the same time, I want people to know that I love them while I'm doing it. Wise and harmless. Ushers, if you'll make sure that there are prayer bulletins available, it won't be long, we'll be on our way. But for now, let's... Hey, if you're a boss, if you have people under your leadership, know what you believe, know where you stand. And I think there are times people need to be disciplined. I think they need to be corrected. But watch how you do it. Sometimes it's just not best to fix everything in one setting. Try to keep it from becoming personal. Wise and harmless. Wise and harmless. That's how God recommends we handle people. One more time through the song. Wise and harmless. Snake, shrewd, smart, knew what needed to be done, how to do it, but too much of that. If it's not counterbalanced with the action of the dove, the gentleness, the kindness becomes destructive.